It's Central Time. We're coming up on a month since the U.S. technically exceeded its national debt limit. Thanks to some accounting procedures, we are scheduled to see consequences in a few months. Congress has regularly voted to raise that ceiling in the past so that the country pays off debts accumulated by past spending, with one near miss one time. Well, here we are again, a divided Congress. President Biden is calling on the Republican-controlled House to raise the debt ceiling with no strings attached. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says his caucus is looking for cuts in federal spending as concessions for voting to raise that limit. Republican members of Congress have been meeting to try to come up with a plan for cuts they can all agree on. Today, the Congressional Budget Office projected the government would stop being able to pay its debts sometime between July and September. Defaulting could cause some major international and domestic economic turmoil. Wisconsin Representative Glenn Grothman joins us now for a look at the debt ceiling and other issues before Congress. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see come out of this debt ceiling story? Do you want to see some cuts attached to a ceiling increase? Are there things you want to see Democrats and Republicans cooperate on in a divided Congress? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Glenn Grothman is a Republican representing Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. That includes Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, Sheboygan, Portage, and Manitowoc. Representative Grothman, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be on the show.
Let's start with that debt ceiling.
Glad to have a chance to talk to the erudite listeners.
I love it.
Public Radio.
It's your catchphrase on the show. I appreciate that. Now, let's start with this debt ceiling, Representative Grothman. What are you hoping to see come out of this this debate, this procedure?
Well, I'm not going to ask for a lot. Obviously, I think the Republicans in the House are going to ask for something collectively, some acknowledgement that we're spending too much money, and therefore some reduction in spending compared to what is anticipated than in the past. Right now, we've got a situation which, if we just do nothing, we're going to go over $1 trillion more in debt in the upcoming year. That's obviously intolerable. The cuts could come from any one of a variety of places, but traditionally, I think when we're this out of whack, we have to acknowledge we're spending too much and have some reduction. And, you know, it's something that we've got to complete. It would be a disaster in the markets if we literally defaulted. So it's going to get done. But like I said, I think traditionally over a period of years, when things are this out of whack, something is done, some commitment for the future, or I would prefer something now. So your listeners understand there are two types of spending in Washington. There's discretionary spending, which Congress does have to vote on every year, and mandatory spending, which goes on automatically. I do not want to cut Medicare or Social Security. That's off the table. So we'll have to look for something else. But some agreement right now, there's going to be less spending than anticipated. And one thing your listeners should be aware of, as interest rates go up, the interest that the federal government has to pay goes up as well. So again, even if we do nothing, there is a rather dramatic increase in just interest expense spending.
I think one of the arguments from the Biden administration is says it goes along these lines. We can talk about the deficit and the debt when we are doing the budget voting stuff. It shouldn't be attached to the debt ceiling, which is paying for, you know, the money we've already spent in effect. What do you say to that?
Well, we're not going to, or traditionally, we don't vote for a regular what we call appropriations bill or general budget till around Christmas. So first of all, that's saying we're not going to have to deal with the problem for another 10 or 11 months. And secondly, we are near record levels here going into debt every year. When things are this out of whack, it shouldn't be that difficult to do something.
Turning to Social Security and Medicare, you mentioned that just a few moments ago. About 2 weeks back, we talked to your Wisconsin delegation colleague, Democrat Mark Pocan, about the debt ceiling. He has raised concerns about Social Security and Medicare. Speaker McCarthy, as you have said, those are off the table, at least when we're talking about the debt ceiling. Here's a listen to Representative Pocan. He's describing a recent House resolution on condemning socialism.
They really showed their cards, the Republican Party, when there was an amendment that said Social Security and Medicare is not socialism, and they wouldn't accept it. So, you know, they've foreshadowed what they plan on doing. They plan on going after these programs. Enough of their members have said they plan on that. So we want to lift the ability to have that happen through a simple majority vote to really being a supermajority.
I'm referring there to legislation he's co-sponsoring. Congressman Grothman, what would you say to your Democratic colleagues in the Wisconsin delegation about the future of these Social Security and other programs?
To me, that's your most important thing. People rely on it, and they paid money their entire life expecting what amounts to a pension to be there. So it's off limits. My general opinion is the type of people, if they ever do go after Social Security, who go after it, are people who want to spend more in other areas. And they realize that because for those of us who have made Social Security the number one thing we can't cut, it's going to make it more difficult for them to spend money in other areas. I'm not going to cut it. I think for Mark to say that, I cannot think. I meet in private meetings as well. I'm on the budget committee. I make it clear. Other people make it clear. We're not going to touch Social Security.
Now, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin has talked about, you know, not cuts, but saying let's move it from that mandatory category where it just keeps going to something we have to vote on periodically, maybe every year, like other budget items. What do you think of that notion?
First of all, if you are going to change something, because we have a filibuster rule in the Senate, when it's discretionary spending, you're going to have to get 60 senators to sign off. If we ever do have all three in Republican control again, which I'd like to have in 2 years, changes can be made to mandatory programs without having the Democrats sign off. So for that reason, unlike a lot of other congressmen, I would rather have things mandatory. But either way, we're not going to touch Social Security. There are a lot of programs that could be described as welfare programs that are in mandatory. And for the reason I just stated, I'd rather keep those in mandatory.
Before we move on from the debt ceiling, Representative Grothman, if it were your druthers, where would you want to start seeing cuts made to try to tackle the deficit?
I have been critical of welfare type programs in the past. I think the programs are designed such that they discourage work, and because they frequently go to people either based on a percent of poverty, they have a strong marriage penalty associated with them as well. I also think a lot of the programs are mismanaged, and we'd be better off sending them back to the states. Other areas, Department of Commerce, Department of Education, are things that I think really are not a federal responsibility either and should also be sent back to the states.
We're talking to Republican Representative Glenn Grothman looking at big issues facing Congress. Coming up, we'll look at some legislation he's introducing. That's coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Wisconsin Republican Representative Glenn Grothman, looking at new legislation he's introduced and what's going on in this congressional session. Representative Grothman, I want to look at that legislation now. One bill you're introducing, you want to standardize the threshold of penalties for offenses involving fentanyl. Can you talk us through that bill?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to point out our drug problem in this country was publicized, I think has been underpublicized. When I got this job, which was just 7 years ago, 8 years ago, there were, I believe, 47,000 people a year dying in this country of illegal drug overdoses. 47,000, that's a lot. By comparison, 57,000 people died during the Vietnam War, and that was over a 12-year period. We're now at 108,000. So every year, the number of people who die of illegal drugs is twice that died during the 12 years of the Vietnam War. So the question is what to do about it. I think when you have something that horrific, you really have to crack down on the people selling it. We want to increase the penalties for fentanyl to where they are right now for heroin, because fentanyl is much more dangerous than heroin. A lot of times people die when they think they're buying heroin and there's some fentanyl in the mix. So it seems to me appropriate that the mandatory minimum be the same for fentanyl as it is for heroin. I also think really we have to do a lot more at the border, which might even be more important. In the budget, we're going to try to get more money in there for dogs. I mean, they've been down at the border. It's amazing what these dogs are able to sniff out, and hopefully get more money for just Border Patrol agents in general. But for 107,000 people a year dying of drug deaths, which is a shocking number. And when I go through individual counties in my district, I like to ask sheriffs or DAs how many people have died last year in your county. Winnebago County, which is Oshkosh, Neenah area, they had 40 people die last year. I mean, just an incredible number, frequently young people, which makes it all the more tragic.
And another piece of legislation you've introduced, you say, is aimed at increasing career opportunities for people living with disabilities. Now, this gets a little technical and complicated. Broad strokes, what would the bill do?
Okay. So you understand what we're talking about here. There are places that used to be called sheltered workshops. I'm trying to think of the large ones in southeast Wisconsin. RCS in Sheboygan, Threshold in West Bend would be examples of them. There are people right now who are trying to shut down these programs. They feel it's wrong to have people with different abilities working together, that they should be out in the community. They also don't like the fact that frequently these people are paid less than minimum wage. Frequently these people get some sort of social security disability, so it's not like they're living entirely on what they make. But we're trying to go back and get back to where the rules were 8 years ago. Among other things, we'd like to see these people begin to be able to work at these places when they're 21 years old. Right now, there's a rule that says before you work at these places, you have to try and fail to work at three other places in the community first. First of all, it's a hard thing to go through, and it's frequently obvious that they can't work in the community. Secondly, we do like it when people with different abilities do get jobs in the community. But when you send somebody off who's going to fail, I think it makes it that much more difficult to find businesses who are willing to take the chance or give the opportunities to people with different abilities.
Now, some disability advocacy groups are behind your legislation. Some others have raised concerns, including Disability Rights Wisconsin. They're saying, in effect, you're making it easier to segregate people with disabilities and potentially to be exploited by being paid less.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot tell you the degree to which I disagree more than people who take that position. Anybody who tours one of these facilities, to say these folks are being exploited, the people who work in these facilities of all abilities are not wildly well paid. The idea that we have people getting wealthy, taking advantage of people with Down syndrome, this sort of thing, is preposterous. These people are saints. You know, they give their lives to make sure that the people with these abilities have opportunities, pride in work. And then to come around and pretend like there's some sort of robber barons is just comical. When they say they should be out in the community, you meet people of all sorts of different abilities in these sort of places. They meet people, you know, management, completely average. You do get a chance to meet people who become lifelong friends. I could say you're in a better place in one of these places because you do meet lifelong friends, as opposed to maybe finding a fast food restaurant that'll hire you where there's a lot of turnover and you don't have the comfort you get and the socialization you get from being with these other folks. So both socially and economically, I think these things provide great opportunities. And what's going to happen if you do shut them down, and a lot of the advocate groups like you're talking about do want to shut them down, you're not going to find anybody who's going to hire these folks for 30 or 35 hours a week. You may find some business who will take them in from, you know, 6 or 8 hours a week, but that's not the same thing as having a regular job. And anybody who tours these places, the pride these folks get about getting a regular job, just like their siblings, just like their parents, where every day you go off to work, it makes them feel tremendous. And if you ever do tour them, I don't know how many of them have open houses. I've obviously taken a lot of tours. It will just make you feel good that these people who've been dealt what a lot of people would consider a tough lot in life are a lot happier than a lot of people who have what some of us would call a more regular job in the community.
Representative Grothman, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Glad to be on the show as always. Look forward to being back soon.
That's Glenn Grothman, Republican representing Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. He joins us today for a look at the debt ceiling and two new pieces of legislation he's introduced in the House.